Stop us if you've heard this before. A new presidential administration comes into power, and right off the bat, it vows to examine the executive branch, stem to stern, and redo it for greater efficiency and less redundancy. Yes, that's the Obama administration back in 2011, and of course, the Trump administration now. Chris Liu held several executive positions in the last administration. He's come by a little skepticism of government reorgs the hard way, and he joins me now. Chris, good to have you back.
Tom, thank you.
You were involved in, I guess it was a 2011 stem to stern review, and I think it's fair to say they all do this coming in. And you found that not so easy to reorganize the federal government. Tell us what your experience was.
Well, Tom, you're right. It's not only the effort we did in 2011. It's what the Bush administration did, what the Clinton administration did with their reinventing government initiative. So I want to first say I applaud the Trump administration for taking on this initiative. I think it's important. I think it's great to get the best ideas and best talent from the private sector into government. But as we learned and as other administrations have learned, government doesn't run like a business. And there are many reasons why it doesn't. Government mission is not to maximize profits. It operates under a different set of laws. It's funded in a different way. And so, yes, you can certainly bring innovation, efficiency into government. And I applaud them for doing that. But I also have a healthy skepticism about how effective that is and whether this is just a ruse for breaking down government even further and outsourcing many important functions.
Well, that's a big question, is the outsourcing idea. Now, they did say that agencies during the hiring freeze could not contract out what they could not hire, but that's a temporary thing. I think we've seen a lot of other hints that they really want to, say, bring back A76 competitions to do some more outsourcing and generally have a wider, more open view of outsourcing. And I guess you, coming from the Obama administration, you probably think that's not the way to go.
Well, it's not that I don't think it's the way to go. I think there are certain key functions that the private sector can do much better. But I think when you add the hiring freeze, when you add the budget blueprint that they rolled out, some of the really harsh anti-federal government rhetoric that's come out of this administration, as well as the rollback of what I think are important environmental labor protections. When you add all that together, it feels like this government initiative, innovation initiative, may not be all on the level. That being said, I'm all about bringing the best practices from the private sector, the best talent into government.
Now, the Obama administration used challenges and prizes and so forth, different programs to come up with ideas from the bureaucracy for efficiency. A lot of them were, there were many of them, but they weren't really fundamental reform. Now, the Trump administration approach is to ask agencies to come up with their own ideas for going as far as which ones can be eliminated. And I wonder how much you can ask of employees to come up with in terms of what it is they themselves are doing.
Well, Tom, at the Department of Labor, we created an innovation council. And the innovation council had representatives from throughout the agency, including union representatives, because we believed fundamentally that the best ideas, many of the best ideas that come out of improving the work of the agency come from the employees themselves. So we wanted to hear from the bottom up what could work better. But you're right. It is hard to ask federal career employees, tell me which of these federal programs should not exist anymore. I do think it's important, and I think one of the pioneering aspects of what we did in the Obama administration is through the 18F program, the Presidential Innovation Fellows, the U.S. Digital Services, we brought a lot of great Silicon Valley talent into the federal government. And that was in part because of the problems with healthcare.gov. But those folks stayed around, and they improved a lot of the external-facing websites, including veterans.gov, that reached the American people. That's an important initiative. That's not partisan in any way, and I hope the Trump administration is able to continue that.
But overall, your assessment is that the idea of reforming government as a whole really fell short then also.
Well, it fell short in part because of Congress. President Obama had an initiative in 2011 where he wanted to reorganize the federal government. He wanted the fast-track authority to move agencies and programs around. He never got that from Congress. And as we all know, a lot of the programs that are perpetually on the chopping block from a budget standpoint are ones that have important congressional backers. And so it is always easier said than done to consolidate, eliminate programs. It is much harder to get Congress to sign off on that.
We're speaking with Chris Liu, former Deputy Labor Secretary. He's now a senior fellow with the Miller Center at the University of Virginia. And Labor Department, where you were, basically ran it as the number two in charge there. I always think of labor kind of like HUD. You've got a mature workforce, very old systems, but also that workforce is dedicated to that particular mission. You find that at labor. So you tried to make some changes to modernize labor department processes. How did you go about that, and what were some of the successes?
Yeah, well, the first thing we did is talk to our employees. We did town halls all around the agency, not only myself, but my boss, Tom Perez. One of the issues that we tackled very early on was this idea of employee engagement. When we got to the Department of Labor in 2013, 2014, the department ranked 18th out of 19th out of all large federal agencies in engagement. We went from 18 to 10 to 8 to 6. We were the most improved federal agency 2 years in a row. And we did that by looking at some of our personnel practices, looking at our telework policies, our workplace flexibilities, trying to address the needs of our employees. We also looked at our IT and realized that we had not made the improvements we needed in our IT. We had too many fragmented systems that weren't talking to each other. The challenges we found is that we were able to make improvements not only in the operational aspects of the department, but as well as the programs that we manage. But again, we were perpetually limited by what Congress would allow us to do. The example I always give is this. We were making the transition in the IT front from Windows 7 to Windows 10. We had to do that over 3 fiscal years.
At least you were at Windows 7 to start with.
And we had to do that over 3 fiscal years because of the way that our appropriations money was given to us. No private sector entity would make a transition like that in 3 fiscal years. And again, that's one of the challenges that any initiative faces. You're still operating under the federal procurement laws, federal hiring laws, federal funding laws, and they exist for reasons. But they make it challenging to fundamentally change the way the government does its business.
So the Office of Management and Budget at this point, actually starting under the Obama administration and continuing with the career people that are there, are revamping the capital planning process for IT, is what you experienced at labor. One of the reasons the White House standing staff is working on that type of thing?
Absolutely. You know, I fully support the IT modernization legislation that's being considered on the Hill right now. The ability to make long-term investments in IT is critically important, ones that span multiple year processes. I'm also a big fan of strategic sourcing and using the government's buying power to get a better deal in terms of goods and services. It's something we availed of ourselves of, and we ought to be doing more of that at the federal throughout the federal government. We shouldn't have within a federal agency or across the federal government multiple wireless service carriers. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Let me get back to the personnel and human capital issue. How do you get people to stay engaged and want to help the agency forward itself in all of these processes and separate that from what might be, to them, radical policy changes?
The first thing you need to do is express your support for the mission of the department. And I think that's one of the big stumbling blocks that the Trump administration will have. Whether it is at EPA, whether it's at energy, when you put people in charge of agencies who in the past have expressed disagreement with the mission of the department, that creates problem. That is a morale issue. And then you, out of the starting block, propose massive cuts to some of these agencies. It is very hard to overcome that in the end. You really have to gain the trust of your federal employees so they understand that the hard actions you're taking are in the best interest of the department and not just to tear down the mission of the department.
Well, now, to be fair, Scott Pruitt at EPA, and this is where I think the crucible of all of this is coming into play, is at the Environmental Protection Agency. He has said he supports the mission as defined by Congress and as they have been pursuing it before two initiatives that were really by executive order and not by Congress. But there is a big policy change nevertheless.
Right. I think he's expressed a support for a small core mission of EPA. But I think there's obviously a larger issue of climate change. And EPA has increasingly played a role in that, not only through regulations, executive action. And it's not only at EPA, it's actually at Interior and Energy as well.
Let's get back to the White House. Now, there is this Office of American Innovation being led by Jared Kushner. So far, there's no one external that I've seen added to it. It's all current cabinet officials just reconstituted into this OAI.
Yeah, and if you believe press reports, he's got a lot of stuff on his plate, too, as well.
Yeah. So what's your advice to him to have some success with this innovative panel?
In order for it to work, he really has to give it his full attention. He has to have it staffed. He has to not only get high-level engagement from the cabinet, he really has to get the buy-in of federal employees whose acceptance he's going to need in order to make some of these changes. I would also suggest that he look at some tangible projects where he can make wins. Cybersecurity is one where we have struggled with that from administration after administration. It obviously takes on a much greater importance now. I also think strategic sourcing is an important initiative that we can make some gains in. I think getting the best talent from the private sector, IT sector into the federal government would be important as well. One of the issues that is near and dear to my heart is how we can get more small tech companies into the pipeline for government procurement projects to help them bring some more innovation in. And for, as you know, from a lot of small companies, it's impossible to break into that federal marketplace.
Yeah, that's the issue. The government may want them, but they may not really want the government as a customer. It's too much of a pain in the neck.
It's hard to get on the GSA schedule. And once you're on the GSA schedule, there are a number of requirements of government contractors. So you're absolutely right.
Lots to think about. Chris Liu is former Deputy Labor Secretary, now a senior fellow with the Miller Center at the University of Virginia. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
And we'll post a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.